We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. We're talking Saturday's three-game slate at DraftKings. I'm Adam Zdrojek, soccer editor at RotoWire, joined by Ryan Belongi and Jordan Cooper. But first, before we get into all the good information, are you looking for NFTs that are both fun and have actual utility? Try So Rare, the largest NFT-based fantasy game. You can collect, trade, and compete with officially licensed digital cards, soccer players from over 180 clubs in So Rare. That's S-O-R-A-R-E. .com. So last week we had the six game slate. It turned into like a Champions League slate almost. You know, you had this Burnley Crystal Palace 3-3, another 3-3 match. This week we get Liverpool as a massive favorite again, home against Southampton, and two other matches that aren't too exciting. So Jordan, I mean, first we're looking at Salah, Alexander Arnold. What are the questions for this slate?
I think the main question is to Salah or not to Salah. I mean, it really comes down to that. The forward position, Salah is the most expensive player on the slate, 11,700. But in cash games, I don't think he's necessary. I mean, obviously in GPPs, he's going to be one of the highest owned players. Obviously, he has the highest ceiling. But from a cash game construction, would I like to have him? Sure. But, I mean, how does he kill you? He kills you basically with two goals. Right, if he gives you two good, one goal ain't gonna cut it for 11-7. That makes it worthwhile. I'd be more inclined, depending on your construction in cash games, on playing Mane instead at 9,500 for the $2,200 in savings. I wouldn't be completely opposed to playing Jota at 8,600 either. It really comes down to what you're gonna do. Obviously, we can talk about Trent Alexander-Arnold at 9,200. Like, if you don't play him, then you could play Salah. Like, then you could fit everyone else you want. That's no problem. We do have some low-cost midfielders that are viable. So you can play, like, two of them or even three of them and play Salah in that type of construction. But it also comes down to what the other forward options on the slate. And forward, it's only a three-game slate, so obviously we don't have that many players to choose from. It comes down to, I think whether or not you play Salah is what your second forward spot looks like. And I think the highest floor option is Miloš Rajiška at 6,800. But I'm not sure if he's necessary. Like, are you overpaying for his floor? Or would you rather take someone more like Daniel Podence at 5,900 or Jordan Ayew at 5,400 or even... If he's in the lineup, Thiago is still forward eligible, and he's 5,200. And if you're more willing to go down at forward over there, then that allows you to play Salah as your second forward. So to me, it's not a whether or not Salah's a good play. It's more of a what is your construction, and his ceiling is obviously worth it, but is his floor worth it?
Yeah, my opinion, no. I wouldn't play Salah in cash. GPP, I love these slates. First of all, I love three-game slates. Prefer them much more to the 5 and 6 game ones, especially this one. This is an easy slate for me. GPPs, I'm just going to full fade Salah, pray he doesn't get the brace. You can just do so much with the salary, so much with the construction too on smaller slates. As far as cash, yeah, I think, you know, lineup seems pretty straightforward with a few things. I'd be comfortable playing Thiago. Again, like I understand, Rashika, I agree with everything Jordan said, basically. But if you play Thiago and you don't play Salah, then you can play Alisson with three defenders, Milivojevic for 3,900. And then there's an interesting 3v3, but I don't know. For me, that's the construction.
Yeah, if you're looking just at Salah in terms of cash game. So as Jordan said, like, you kind of need two goals out of him to be worth it. The last three matches for him. So Liverpool, they've scored two goals against Brighton, two goals against West Ham, four against Arsenal. Salah didn't finish with over 18 points in any of those matches. I mean, there's always a chance, you know, he goes off for the huge matches. He had the huge one against Manchester United with a hat trick and everything, but just the floor in general isn't there. And as for Rashika, I think the big thing, that match is kind of hard to project. It's you know, those other two matches, Wolverhampton, Norwich, Crystal Palace, Aston Villa, are pretty low implied goal total. But I was just looking at the numbers. Wolverhampton have allowed the fourth least amount of corners in the league. So if you're paying for, you know, set pieces from Rashika, sure, he's going to get some from open play, but 6,800, Norwich, maybe because they're at home, maybe you look at that, but it's still not like the best matchup, I guess.
Well, the question with Rashika, when it comes to a cash game perspective, or in any even GPPs, is that how much of a higher floor does he have that makes up for the lack of ceiling that you could get from other spots? So, like, if you say that Rashika has an 8-point floor, but has a much lower ceiling than some of these other forward plays, like, how much lower of a floor does Podence have, or IU, or Danny Ings? I mean, some of these, like, more goal-dependent players, even Pukki on his own team. Like, if Rashika has an 8-point floor and some of these other guys has 4 or 5-point floors, but their ceilings are 25, like, would you rather save some money and get upside, even though you're going to be giving up a 3 or 4 points of floor in your lineup? But you get bailed out. Like Rashika, it's going to be hard for you to get bailed out. Sure, yes, he could show up on the goal sheet. You're right. He's going to get an assist. But if he doesn't, 8 points for 6,800, maybe it would have been more worth it to take a shot on a Jordan Ayew goal or a Danny Ings goal. Or I'm looking just down at a cheap forward. Edson Edouard, if he's in the lineup at 6,500, or Hee Chan at 6,400. Just name anyone in this range.
Why not Thiago?
Why not? Right, you're right. Why not Thiago?
Why not? There's a chance Oxlade-Chamberlain starts too. I mean, he's been getting starts. Henderson probably. I mean, we had projected Henderson back in the 11, but Oxlade-Chamberlain 4.5K listed as a midfielder / forward. So,
yeah, if he starts, I'm okay with that. Yeah, Jordan, I agree with you. It's funny. I was actually considering, like, this a similar situation, but instead of Rashitska to the Liverpool forwards, I was viewing it as Thiago or getting up to Rashitska. You know, like how I was even factoring in that, you know, the same thing as the Liverpool guys have more upside or more bailout potential than Rashitska. He has more upside and more bailout potential than Thiago. So it's kind of like, I don't know, considering the same thing, but for a different price range.
I think at forward, I think if you went down to Thiago or some that range forward, it allows you to upgrade one of your midfielders or your goalkeeper. So we'll talk about midfield. I'm not compelled to pay up at midfield. I mean, if Milivojevic is in, I mean, he's 3,900. I'll just play him. Connor Gallagher doesn't become a cash play anymore at 9,000. James Ward-Prowse as the heaviest underdog to Liverpool, I don't even consider. And then we have a lot of forward-eligible midfielders, but the next one, I don't think he's a priority, only because he doesn't play 90. We'll have to see what this lot, that obviously the starting 11 looks like. But Buendia at 6,500, like, I'd much rather play Buendia than play Rijsica. The only reason I'd be playing Rijsica is because he's forward-eligible. So now I have to think in terms of, well, if I'd rather play Buendia over Rijsica, well, if I play Thiago or Ayu or one of the 5K forward in there, like, I'm playing them over a 5K midfielder. So I'm comparing, to me, it's I'm comparing Thiago to Billy Gilmore and going, what's the big difference between Thiago and Billy Gilmore? Billy Gilmore has a slightly higher floor because he has a share of set pieces. But they're an underdog to Wolves, so it's not like Billy Gilmore's that great of a play. So if I played Thiago over Billy Gilmore, like, I don't feel that bad about it. And then I get Buendia over Rijsica, and I feel much better about Buendia than I do about Rijsica. The only reason Thiago becomes in play is because they, you know, we wouldn't even be talking about him if he's just midfield eligible. It's just that you could fill a forward spot with him, and he is on the biggest favorite, and he's cheap enough, and then you're able to get to everyone else in your lineup. You feel like once you plug Thiago in the forward spot, I feel like the rest of my lineup, I feel good. I feel like I'm taking good players. I have two defenders that I want to play, possibly three defenders that I want to play, possibly have a decent goalkeeper, possibly. Got Milivojevic in there, and like, if that's what solves it, when you play Rijsica, it's going to be hard to make that build where you also get Buendia. And I'd much rather have Buendia over. I'd rather have the Aston Villa player over the Norwich player.
Okay, so yeah, a couple things. I understand all that. First thing is, what's so much better about Buendia than Billy Gilmore? Second thing, I would definitely play Rijsica over Buendia if they were the same price and the same position.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, 90 minutes at home. 90 minutes at home versus for sure 70 or less.
Yeah, but Buendia could be in the lineup with a set-piece monopoly.
I don't see that because, for one, it's never happened. And for two, Villa have two left-footed players that take sets, McGinn and Target. Target split last game. You know, Buendia is right-footed. That's just how they do it now. Monopoly's not happening.
We also haven't seen, but Douglas Luiz has a chance of starting, and he took set pieces. Like, I think he had a monopoly early in the season. He has a chance of starting. I mean, we have Nakamba in the projector here, but Douglas Luiz is coming back from, I think, what, a two-match absence. So that's another thing to consider with
Buendia. Right, well, that's why I put that big asterisk on my depending on starting lineup and based on our predicted lineups at RotoWire, which you could see, rotowire.com. And obviously we have the formations out, rotowire.com/soccer trial, get 7-day free trial for our cheat sheets and everything. Like, based on that projected lineup, it looks like Target would take on one side, Buendia would take on the other, and Buendia is playing in the front three with essentially two defensive midfielders behind him. I mean, McGinn isn't, but I mean, I just think he has more value in that type of starting lineup. But once you start adding like if I take a look here at the projected starters, because there's another cheap midfielder that I'd be interested in is Jacob Ramsey. Depending on if he plays, he's 3,200. Like this Aston Villa lineup could be anything. I mean, like, our projected could be like off by like five players. Buendia cannot even start, right? I mean, like it could be a lot of different things. So like when I say Buendia is not I don't consider him a priority. I just put him over Rijsica. It's in a lineup that is more similar to what we have projected than one that has like Leon Bailey in it, that has a whole bunch of that has Douglas Luiz in it, where it's like if I can't expect at least 50% of like set piece opportunities, then whatever. Like, yeah, he's still good in open play though.
Yeah, no, I agree. And Buendia, you know, I don't want to poo-poo him too much. You know, he's priced for 70 minutes, and I, you know, it's a decent price, and there is some goal and assist upside. I mean, just looking now, 9 shots in 10 games. I mean, you don't love that. He's taken more than one shot in a game twice all season. But yeah, it's a good price. As far as the lineup, Steven Gerrard's second match, I mean, they won 2-0. So it's hard to imagine he changes much, if anything. But yeah, you know, maybe Luis steps in.
For cash games, so we're talking, you know, the set piece takers. Like, obviously, Moutinho is not a GPP play, but he's 4,300. Norwich allow the most corners in the league. And, like, he probably has the same floor as Buendia, as Rashica. There's no upside, of course, but, like, you're getting an 8-point floor maybe. And, you know,
you don't get an 8-point floor with Moutinho. He does almost nothing in open play.
Yeah, but if, I mean, the matchup here just for Norwich, like, just give him 5 crosses. I don't know. He's hit.
You're talking about barely 4 points there.
Okay, so it's interesting. I've been off Moutinho, I mean, all year. Like, he's one of not many guys I hate rostering more than Moutinho, but it's weird to see, you know, it's weird to see him with a 6.4-point floor with no goals and assists this season. I mean, he's averaging 6.4 points, and he hasn't gotten a goal and assist, and he's got at least a few yellow cards. So, I mean, and a plus matchup. So, yeah.
I have nothing against – hold on, Ryan. I have nothing against him at 4,300. I have against what Adam's saying is that he has the same floor as Emi Buendia. I think he's in the – he's, if you want to pay two cheap midfielders, Milivojevic and Moutinho – there's a couple of others in that range, like that. You could, Billy Gilmore is in that kind of that range. Also,
well, I think we're looking
like you could do it. I've nothing against them as individual plays, but don't tell me that Buendia is real. Buendia should be a $4,500 player. No, Buendia should be a $6,500 player.
Right.
I do think Moutinho, he's still going to play. If you're just basing this off of recent games, he's going to play 20 minutes more than Buendia, which, I mean, I think that accounts for something at least.
Yeah. It counts for something. I don't think he has as high a floor as Buendia, but I agree he's absolutely viable on this cash slate. Like, he might even be one of the better cash plays. Like,
Joe Moutinho is plus 1,500 to score anytime goal scoring odds.
Right,
plus 1,500. Yeah,
we don't want the goal. We want the 8 points for.
Yeah, but we can get 8 points from Buendia. He's plus 320 to score. I mean, just by the fact of how Aston Villa play and where Buendia is positioned on the field. Like, yes, you're going to downgrade his set piece potential, but as far as chances created and shots, and like, he's just a more offensive player. Moutinho sits in the middle of the park and really doesn't do much. So without the set piece opportunities, which he'll only have half of at best, it's like, yes, at 4,300, he's a fine. You fill him in. You plug him in, and he's better. He's probably better than the 4,300 of the defender options. But he's not. He's not someone that I'm like, oh, this guy's 2,000 underpriced. He's there. He's like, what? Okay. And I played. I over the past 3 years, I probably played Moutinho more than all the three of us combined. Mm-hmm. Right. So like, yep. I played him. I think he's fine, but to say that Buendia, and I'm not defending Buendia either. I'm not a big fan of playing him on this slate in that type of construction. I think I'm much more likely, the more and more I think about it, the more likely that I'm less, that I don't even play Rijsica or Buendia, and I just play Salah in the forward slot in cash games, and then just pay for two cheap midfielders. And then get all my points at the defender and goalkeeper spots. Like, essentially, it comes down to, do I want to play Salah or Mane in the forward spot, and whether or not I want to play Alisson or a cheaper goalkeeper in the goalkeeper spot. And I don't mind all of the. Maybe you just avoid that 6K range altogether, and you just basically play kind of a stars and scrubs type of lineup, because you're making the point that some of these floors may not be that dramatically different. That if Buendia has a floor game of 7 or 8 points, it's like, you wouldn't mind Billy Gilmore's 5.5 or 6 for 2,000 less. And then just pay up a goalkeeper, pay up a 2 defender spots, pay up a 1 forward spot, and you're good.
Right. Yeah, I agree. You know, Moutinho is nothing more than fine. Yeah, for sure. I'm on your side with that. Like, he might be a couple $100 too cheap. I mean, but like you said, he didn't even take half the sets last game. He'll take half the sets going forward. I mean, Nate Norrie will take all the ones on the other side. So yeah, I mean, it's the same. He's the same as Milivojevic.
Like, I almost think Ruben Neves has more upside at 4,600 than Moutinho at 43.
I would say, yeah, he does have more upside. Just his floor is just unpredictable, I guess, because you're basing off of, I don't know, whatever he does. Sometimes he has a lot of shots, sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he has tackles, sometimes he has more fouls committed than tackles. So,
and I want to be clear also, Ryan, we talked about Thiago not because we like him as like he's good. It's because would you play Thiago if it was just midfield eligible?
No.
5,200. Okay.
No.
I just always want to make that clear that his forward eligibility.
That's a good point.
It's basically when we talk about him, when Andrew was here, it's not about Thiago. It's about essentially playing the cheapest starting forward. So right. Whoever that happens to be, that's fine. And Thiago just happens to be one of the cheapest that will start that's forward eligible. And he happens to also play for the home highest, you know, the highest favored team on the slate.
Exactly right. It's only because of position. It's only because he's the cheapest, and like the fact that he has a great matchup just sort of pushes it over the edge.
Yeah, I guess we kind of skipped over Danny Ings at forward. I don't know. We haven't really.
Well, I mentioned him. I think if you get a punt, but I mean obviously we'll talk about GPPs, you know, in a second. I mean, there's tons of stuff you could do at forward for GPPs. But I do you think that that defender is the most straightforward thing on the slate? You just play TAA, you play at 8 Nuri, and you're done.
Yeah.
If you're playing a third defender, you're playing Robertson, Target.
Yes.
You're pretty much done there.
You're playing Alexander Arnold and 8 Nuri, and you're done. And I probably lean towards playing a third. There's other decent options. Yeah, absolutely. Ings though, Adam, actually that's interesting. Like even for like, I mean, I've mentioned Thiago a million times already for cash games. They're the same price. Like it's not like Thiago has that great of a floor. So like you can just put Danny Ings in cash too, if you want a little bit of upside. Yeah. It's a good shout.
If you punt down at that defender, if he starts for Norwich, Brandon Williams.
Maybe.
But you'd be. I mean, the thing about Brandon Williams is that you're not playing Brandon Williams because he's 3,100. You're playing him in the utility spot. Like you have to consider him almost as a midfielder because most likely you're playing Alexander Arnold and 8 Nuri in your defender spots. Do I play 30? Do you have a spot for a $3,100 player that you play essentially as your utility position? And a lot of times it may come down to playing Williams in your utility or playing Gilmore and paying, depending on what you do, a goalkeeper. So it's kind of like it may be a 2v2 of Allison Williams or Cruel Gilmore or some type of 2v2 like that. I think a lot of cash, depending. Based on our current predicted lineups, it's going to be a lot of those types of 3v3s where it's goalkeeper, utility, midfielder, and a forward. Like whether or not you go up to Salah, whether or not you play Mane, like it'll be a lot of those kind of like 3v3s. And the goalkeeper is obviously the least important one. But I just wanted to mention that a $3,100 fullback on a three-game slate is worth playing.
Mm-hmm. But he'd definitely be at utility, not a defender. I mean, you know, he's the same price as Jacob Ramsey. So, of course you can consider that, especially if it lets you pay up for Allison. The one thing, like just the one thing that concerns me is, are you losing, like are you losing too many points there? Like three defender, there's three good defenders on this slate. Well, you have two locked in already, but a couple other decent options. I don't know if I want to lose too many points with Williams or Ramsey as opposed to having one of these other defenders at utility. You might lose 10 points there. I mean, 5, 6 for sure.
So but when we talk about the other defenders, are we talking about essentially Robertson or Target?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think you could just play Target because he's cheaper. He's shown like a surprisingly high floor, and taking corners last week in Girard's first match is pretty encouraging. But I do think you can play Robertson. His game log doesn't look great, but it's a good matchup. And like he's better than the midfielders in that range, I guess. I think I'd rather play him than Buendia. You know, I'd rather play him than Billy Gilmore. So yeah, I think like I lean towards going Target or Robertson in that util spot. I just don't want to lose points to these defenders with high floors.
Yeah, I think we saw last week just with, the three defender look. I think it was you, Ryan, that you had three of your defenders all hit over 20 points. And sure, that's not going to happen again. But just these guys that we're talking about, what the four or five guys we're talking about, like they're in a situation where their floors could be, 10 plus points with upside. Whereas you go with Williams and it's like, well, okay, he's 3 points maybe. And I don't know, sure, he's a fullback, but what does that mean for Norwich? So,
yeah, that's what worries me. Yeah. I mean, and maybe I'm probably like, a little biased after you see that happen last week. Yeah, all of my defenders. I mean, I think Richie only scored like 18 or something. But yeah, it's such a huge edge if you can get those points at defender there. I don't know if I want to give it up. But then also, I'm talking like it's a guarantee. You look at Robertson's game log and he hasn't scored over 10 in five weeks. Target, he's whatever. So it's not like these guys are guaranteed, but I just like – yeah, I like that because if it hits, it's a big edge.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
For GPPs. Okay, so let's kind of transition over to that. I think I may be nuts.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite player on the slate for GPPs is Christian Benteke at 7,900. I think Palace at home is a better spot than Wolves on the road, and I don't think people may not have adjusted to the fact that Palace play much differently now than we're used to the past 3 years. Benteke is taking a lot more shots. He's not just a static number nine. I mean, he is, but they're getting him the ball more in front of goal, where he's not just trying to head balls in. That I think he's probably maybe a little bit overpriced, but he's also going to just be lost in, like, people are going to play these Liverpool forwards. Are they going to go down? I mean, I put Raul Jimenez in that same bunch with Benteke. It's just that I prefer Palace to Wolves. And there aren't many Aston Villa players that I'm likely to play if a bunch of them are in. So to just stack like Palace and play, you know, I could play a cheap defender. So like I could pair up based on our predicted lineups. Pair up a Joel Ward or a Tyreek Mitchell with Benteke, with Milivojevic, with Ayu or Zaha. I mean, like I could stack like four of them with Guaita. Crystal Palace wins 3-0. Like, as long as like no single player on Liverpool puts up like double, like 20 plus points, maybe I could win the slate that way. And I think the ownership outside of Milivojevic, I think the Palace ownership is going to be very low because Zaha's in that same like price range of like, why am I playing Zaha when I could play a Liverpool forward? And I just think they're going to be under-owned. I would agree the same thing with Jimenez, Chan, and Podence. But like I said, like I would put Wolves underneath Palace only because they're on the road. While, you know, playing at Selhurst, Palace ain't that bad of a team.
Yeah, I thought I was gonna be the only one to bring up Benteke.
I'm not crazy then.
No, I mean I agree with you. So first, Benteke was 4% owned last week, and he won. He was on the winning lineup for the second time in 4 weeks. I mean, he's got as much goal upside as anyone not on Liverpool. And like, you're right about, this isn't like the Christian Benteke from Roy Hodgson's teams. I mean, this is closer to the Christian Benteke that signed for Liverpool and was starting ahead of Romelu Lukaku on Belgium for a little while. I mean, now I'm not saying he's back to that form, but he's talented. And this Palace team's been scoring goals. And yeah, I mean, yeah, I was going to bring up Benteke too. So then I'd say on a 3-game slate, like how can you find, like he'll be a little bit more popular than some of these other guys. So who's like the Christian Benteke of this slate now that he's like sort of moved into at least a middle echelon, but no one's going to play like Ollie Watkins, for instance. I mean, you know, people will play Danny Ings, people will play Benteke, people will play Raul Jimenez. So like, I don't mind making a lineup. I plan on fading Salah. So I don't mind making lineups with any of these guys. I mean, it's so easy for any of them to end up optimal when there's less games on the slate, because there might not be a lot of goals for one. There might not be, if there are goals, there might not necessarily be from forwards. And when you hit the guy that scores the most points at the position, it's very easy to win a tournament. So taking some chances on some lower owned guys just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I'm surprised, Ryan. You're not battling the odds here on our cheat sheet. So Benteke's at +200 to score, and despite, you know, Crystal Palace being a home favorite, Danny Ings is above him at +175, and then you keep going, Raul Jimenez +130 at Norwich, even Zaha, I guess with PKs, he's +170. So like, if you consider that, Benteke probably won't be, like, if those are the odds at other places, other books, like,
right, he's not gonna be popular. You're right, I didn't mean to say that. He's not gonna be popular. Yeah. And like those guys, Ings, you know, Ings has PKs, Pookie has PKs, Jimenez has PKs. So, you know, that's the reason for the odds being like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, good point. I mean, no, Benteke's not going to be popular. I didn't mean to make it sound like that. I just mean people are noticing him.
Yeah, but on a 3-game slate, he's not going to be 4% owned, just right, the dynamic that there's only 3 games. On a 6-game slate, he was 4% owned because obviously there's twice as many players to choose.
A guy like Heechan could be 4% owned.
On this slate.
Yeah, on this slate, right. Or like a Ollie Watkins or, you know, someone like that.
Josh,
like
Sargent.
Josh Sargent, for sure. He's definitely in play.
Yeah, I think a clear move is. Kidding.
Give me Josh Sargent. I'm waiting to win a GPP with Josh Sargent.
Good luck with that. It might be this late. Yeah. I mean, if you fade Liverpool, there's really, you could look at any, well, maybe not Southampton. You could look at the other four teams, their forwards from the other four teams for GPPs, and, you know, you could win any of those. It's not like Liverpool are guaranteed to score three or four in this match. It could be 1-0. It could be 2-0. Like Southampton have been pretty defensive this season. So it's not like a match where Liverpool are going to go off. And I think last season, Liverpool, they won 2-0 and then they lost 1-0. So it's not like it's a matchup that sets up to be a ton of goals for Liverpool. So people will use Liverpool similar to what Manchester United last weekend, but that doesn't mean that their guys are all going to get more than 20 points. So
I'm waiting, Adam, for your the laughable goal. I'm assuming it's someone like Tyrone Mings, right? Like it's going to be someone like that, right?
I don't know. So
who's the Shane Duffy of the slate? Who's the Shane
Duffy? I hope there's one coming.
Wow. Okay. I was going to say
this is the meme. See, Andrew had the goalkeepers that it always loses with, and you're the guy with the some weird midfielder or central defender that you're going to stake a claim on.
All right. So Mings is coming off a goal. I'm not going to go him.
He's not hot. I thought he's hot. He's hot.
I'm not. I don't believe in center back.
Oh, you believe in the dew side that once it's either hot or dew. It's one of the two.
Yeah, so Romain Saiss, I think he has the best odds of any of the center backs to score, maybe outside of Van Dijk, and Van Dijk's 3,900. Just not going to pay for that, really.
Yeah, but Saiss isn't cheap. Saiss is what, like 3,500?
Saiss is 3,500. Yeah, I didn't. He's not my guy. I look through the list. No one. You guys are forcing me to do this.
You seem like a Connor Cody guy. It seems like you're a Connor Cody guy.
I'm actually just going to go down here to 2,500. So, you know, Norwich, Dean Smith coming off back-to-back wins. I think before the podcast, Ryan was like, Norwich, they're playing well. Can't forget about them. So we're looking at the true punts here, 2,500 center backs for Norwich. It's either going to be Ben Gibson starting again. He had one shot last match, or Ozan Kabak, who has, you know, two shots in three matches, 2,500. So, you know, we were talking about Brandon Williams. Like, why are we paying plus 600 for Brandon Williams when he has no upside and when you can actually just get paid down 600, 2,500 for North center back? They're supplying, you know, almost similar stats to Brandon Williams. Maybe you can get the center back goal. There you go. What do you think?
I think you're forcing it now.
I am. You guys forced me.
I'm forced. Right. Ben Gibson.
You're gonna like this.
It doesn't seem like you have the heart behind like that. Like when you were on Shane Duffy, that was like, no, I'm on Shane Duffy. This is kind of like I gotta pick someone. I guess Ben Gibson.
Well, the last few picks I've had, these guys have had their worst matches. I think. Whoever I picked last week, he had like one of his worst games. He finished like less than 1 point. So it's kind of put me in a bad mood here. And I'm scared to go out on a limb.
I will say though, Rudiger's due. But
oh, now we're going Chelsea.
No. Let's back to this. So I just wanted to say, just to your point about a Norwich center back or Brandon Williams, there was a Sunday slate a couple weeks ago where him, Brandon Williams and Omo Bamidele, or whatever his name is, they were the same price. They were both less than 3K, and I played the center back on all the teams over Brandon Williams, and he scored his only goal of the season. So, I mean, if the decision's between fullbacks who don't do anything and center backs, No. The center back did.
Okay.
Point being, I choose the center back over Brandon Williams for tournaments, or just in general over fullbacks that don't do anything, like him, I guess.
I mean, it's an extreme situation we're talking about here.
Right. I mean,
if you want to save $600 on the Norwich center back, here you go.
I probably won't be doing that. But
that's probably not the strategy.
Since Jordan asked the question.
Popular goalkeepers, probably Alisson and Kroll. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Either you pay up for the home favorite, tie, home favorite, whatever, or you pay for the underdog, home underdog goalkeeper.
Yeah. Alisson and Kroll, I would think they'll be the the two most popular keepers, yeah.
Yeah, that's about it, unless you want to go against Norwich there and go with Jose Sa at 5,000, but...
I mean, any of the keepers are fine, obviously, yeah. For tournaments. It's just that's just who's going to be popular.
Yeah, if you have the money, Ellison. If you don't have the money, whoever, really.
Also, let me also bring up a point as far as, if you fade Salah, let's say you fade all the Liverpool forwards, the natural inclination is to say, well, I'll play McCarthy in that lineup. But the way that Liverpool play, it's possible that McCarthy could be the nuts and both Liverpool defenders are also the nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So just be clear that if Liverpool scores no goals in this game, Trent Alexander-Arnold will still have 22 fantasy points. And Robertson could have 16 fantasy points just on peripherals because they're just going to be pumping the ball. And they're going to have like 70% possession and probably the last half of the game pumping, 28 crosses into the box or something. So don't be that concerned about like Liverpool's floor in a game where McCarthy has a ceiling is still ridiculously high.
Right. Sometimes even higher, actually. Great point. I mean, many times, at least last year, not so much this year, Liverpool have been kind of crushing, but many times last year, game 0-0 into the second half, Robertson and Alexander-Arnold just going crazy sending in crosses. I actually think it was against Southampton last year. I remember the game. I was like,
it was. I got it pulled up
myself for that was the game, right?
Yeah, so Danny Ings, he had that flick, I believe, in the box in like the second minute, and then Liverpool had 43 crosses, 17 shots, Robertson 17 crosses, Alexander-Arnold 9 crosses.
And did they end up scoring?
No, they lost 1-0. They had Jordan Henderson and Fabinho at center back. So
okay, well, yeah, but yeah, okay. Yeah, that was the game. So yeah, just to Jordan's point though, McCarthy has a ceiling and Alexander-Arnold still has a high ceiling in that scenario too. Absolutely.
Yeah, McCarthy.
But I think, were you going to say like if you pay down for, or if you don't play Salah or any of the Liverpool, the inclination is to play McCarthy, but I mean, I kind of like playing Alisson in that case also. I mean, you're saving the salary for something. And the most likely thing to happen is Alisson being the highest scoring keeper on the slate. It happens more often on smaller slates. So, I mean, with myself fading Salah, I'll try to take advantage of that with Alisson.
And also you get it from a cash game perspective, you get some blocking potential. So for instance, a lot of Salah lineups will not have Alisson. Mm-hmm. So if Salah does get two goals, it's more likely that Alisson has the win in the clean sheet, which kind of makes up for one of those goals. So there's a negative correlation there that you could take advantage of if you're not playing Salah. That's why I said the more that I don't play Salah in my cash lineup, the more likely I play Alisson, because I want to at least, because Salah-Alisson lineups are going to be less prevalent. And if Salah tries to, beat me and he's 50% owned, I could probably salvage, as long, obviously, if Southampton score, if the game's 2-2, I'm not. But as Salah gets more points, the more and more likely Alisson gets more points.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I just thought of one more thing. GPP strategies, sort of the opposite of what I'm doing, but just as viable. I'm going to fade Salah and play Trent, but playing two Liverpool forwards and fading Trent is a similar strategy. You could go for it that way. There's paths to Trent failing. It's not the way I'm going, but you've seen tournaments won like that before.
Yeah, so it's pretty much how we started it, to either Salah or not to Salah, and then you kind of go from there.
Yep.
But I think that, yeah, I think that's it. You guys have anything else?
To Ben Gibson or to not Ben Gibson?
To Ben Gibson. Yes, exactly. I don't know if I'm going to – no, I'm not going to waste my money on that. So If anyone does that, I know people have been going after my center back picks. They've been telling me in Discord, and I apologize for, you know, those losing lineups.
Yeah, but you're going to lose 95% of the time because they're not going to, they're only going to score maybe three or four times a season.
Yeah, that's the purpose. You just go with them in GPPs, and, you know, when they get that going clean sheet, there you go.
So, Jan Bednarik is my center back pick.
Oh. Okay, so you're just going complete fade of Liverpool here? You're just going straight?
No. I'm just looking at the cheapest, least likely guy to score. But, you know, Okay. Stuff like that happens.
Yeah, that's the Southampton 1-0 win. There you go. That's a winner, too. But if you have any questions for us, you can find us on Twitter. Jordan is at BlenderHD. Ryan is at Ryan Belangi. I am at RotoZadroik. I was just talking about the Discord. You can find that at rotowire.com/chat. And to get a trial, rotowire.com/soccer trial. Free day, 10-day free trial. No credit card required. You get everything at RotoWire. Again, if you're watching on YouTube, like and subscribe. Same with the podcast. And I guess we haven't really talked about it, but next week we have midweek. So I will be back for, and I don't know who else is going to be joining me, but we're going to have a show Monday or Tuesday. I haven't decided if we're going to do the Tuesday, Wednesday slate, but we will be back next week. Otherwise, everyone, enjoy your rest of the holiday weekend, and we'll see you next week then.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about, but why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.